Hello, I'm Jim Richards. I want to welcome you to a very special message that I call Personal Exercises for Operating Faith. Now, one of the problems that most people have in trying to develop their faith, growing in their faith, or stepping out and actually putting it into practice is that we have very few opportunities to operate faith, especially miracle-working faith. We have very few opportunities to do that in the real world. Very seldom do we have the chance to step out and really allow God to use us to do something incredibly significant that we're really ready for. And in fact, most of the time, people get paralyzed because they're afraid that if they step out, it's going to be a blunder. They're going to get embarrassed. Nothing's going to happen. They don't know what to expect. And basically, most people get paralyzed and never actually putting their faith into practice. Faith really is just something that people talk about. It's academic, it's intellectual, but it's not really a way of life. It's not about governing your life around you and you bringing the factors in your life. I'm not talking about the people. I'm not talking about controlling people, but I'm talking about inside you, your emotions, your issues, your beliefs, your thoughts, as well as outside of you, the circumstances that seem to be trying to work against you and bring devastation. It's very rare that people really use their faith in a way to deal with these situations and bring them in line with the kingdom of God. You know, the kingdom of God is already in us, and it's a realm, and in this realm, things work a certain way. And if we want heaven on earth, then we have to establish the kingdom here on earth. We have to use our faith. We have to be in this world as Jesus would be if he's right here. Now, the Bible tells us very clearly that faith without works is dead. In other words, you know, it goes on to say that even the demons believe and tremble, but it doesn't mean anything. Nothing happens in their lives. A lot of people believe certain things in the Word of God, but they actually never do anything to put them into practice in their lives. So those things that they supposedly believe do not benefit them one bit. It is simply intellectual information. And I'll tell you, in reality, in the original language, there is very little distinction between believing something and doing something. The fact is, you do what you really believe will work and what will get you what you want. As I said, most of our beliefs are just academic. They're discussion points with other Christians. They're things we talk about at church, but they are very seldom put into practice in a way that makes any real difference in our lives or the lives of people that are around us. Now remember, one of the things I'm fully committed to, and I always have been, if you're a disciple, if you are choosing to live like Jesus lived, yes, you accept his teachings. Yes, you accept his interpretation of the Word of God, but you want to get beyond information and you want to live based on the truth, live based on this. Then the reality is I'm always working to show you how to take steps to leave the theoretical realm of Christianity and enter into the practical wisdom and discipleship of people who are putting in practice, making it work in their life. Now, when it comes to stepping out into life-changing events, like I said, it is just too frightening to go out and attempt to work miracles or to attempt to get people healed. It is completely foreign to us. And I'll tell you, there's one thing that we will resist the unknown. We will resist that which is foreign to us. We don't see ourselves doing it. We can't imagine ourselves doing it. We can't imagine what the outcome is going to be. We're just absolutely not going to do it. The fear of the unknown is one of the greatest fears that all people face. So the only place that we've seen, you know, miracles or healings or the gifts of the Holy Spirit operated are usually in church at an altar call. So the only model that we have has nothing to do with real life. Because out in real life, there's not going to be music playing in the background. There's not going to be 100 or 200 or 500 or 5,000 people there agreeing with you. It's not going to be an environment like church. And also the people out in the real world may not speak Christianese. They may not understand religious terminology. And so we have no model for what this looks like in real life. I'll tell you, with our residential training in our International School of Ministry, one of the big things that we did for 30 years was we took people out to minister on the street and move in the gift of the Holy Spirit, because our philosophy was, if you can't move in the gifts of the Holy Spirit in Walmart, then you're not ready to move in the gifts of the Holy Spirit in church. So we have seen people grow in putting this stuff into practice in ways that really are life-changing, not only for themselves, but for everybody around them. But what you need, what every person needs, is a safe way to put our faith into operation, to build our confidence before we step out into the real world arena. Before we step out there and have something embarrassing happen, we need to have some safe zone, if you will, to be able to function in these realities of God. Now, the only place you can do that is in your own heart. Now, when I first got saved, I had a really poor education, and I had very poor grammar, and I had great difficulty focusing. So when I would read my Bible, it would just be a matter of minutes, and I would zone out, and I would, you know, realize 10 minutes, 20 minutes, sometimes 30 or 40 minutes later that I was just sitting there staring off in the space. So it was really difficult for me to read and intellectually grasp the things that were there in the Scripture. And plus, I was reading a King James Version of the Bible, which when you've already got a bad vocabulary, that really, really doesn't help. My mother gave me a copy of a book, and what's interesting, my mother wasn't even born again at the time, but she gave me a copy of the book basically about the life of Jesus, and I think it was The Greatest Story Ever Told or something like that. And so basically what that book did is it took the Gospels or Jesus' life and put them into more of a storybook or conversational format. And so in reading it in something that wasn't so religious sounding and so foreign, it actually made it come more alive to me. So one of the things that I began doing is when I would read about Jesus walking along, coming up on somebody and, you know, getting a blind person healed or a cripple up walk, I would imagine what it would be like to be in that crowd and to be watching that. I would be trying to imagine what it would be like to look around and see how people were responding, what people were saying, what people's reactions. In other words, I wanted this to be as real to me as it could possibly be. Now, eventually, I took another huge step, and what I began to do was I began to imagine myself working those miracles that Jesus worked. Now, to some people in a real religious environment, people just lose their mind and say, well, you know, that's, man, there's something wrong with that. That's not really something that you should actually do. But the truth is, John 14:12, Jesus says, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And I read that scripture as a young believer before I ever went to church, and I thought, okay, I can do these same things. And so I would imagine myself doing these same things. I would imagine myself being the one casting, you know, the demons out. And I would imagine myself being the one who laid hands on the sick and would watch them get up and walk. So what I didn't realize was I was observing one of the most important of all heart physics laws, and that is, based on the teaching of the parable of the sower, the degree of thought and study and reflection and pondering and considering and meditation that I give to the word determines the degree of life and virtue and strength that's going to come to me from the word. You know, King James says it, with the measure you meet is measured unto you. And so, you know, I can remember the very first time I got a call. It was the middle of the night. I get this call, and a bunch of my hippie friends, you know, had been out doing drugs, and, you know, they had never been to, none of them had ever been to church. I didn't go to church. None of us knew anything about church. We did not have a church culture. But I remember, you know, getting a call, and they said, you know, we were doing some drugs, and we were doing this, and all of a sudden this weird voice began to speak out of, you know, one of the guys that was with them. We don't know what this is, but we think it's a demon. Can we come to your house? And so they brought the guy to my house, and you know, I took him through deliverance. And, you know, all I had to go on was what I'd seen in the Bible, but what I have meditated on, and the images and the mental movies that I had created where I'd seen myself doing these things. You know, it wasn't long after that until one of the most perverted musicians I ever knew had sold his soul to the devil. And I mean, he was a pervert. We had played in a band, you know, together, and I went to his house one night, and took him through deliverance. I'd never seen any of this before. And what was interesting is, you know, for a long time after I got saved, I couldn't find anybody who had ever had those kinds of experiences. Eventually, I got in, you know, a charismatic type church, and there were people who had stood at altars and you know, supposedly took Christians through deliverance, but I didn't meet anybody that had ever been out actually in people's homes or in people's houses, getting people delivered. But it was believable to me because I'd already seen it in my own heart. And so, you know, basically I did the same thing about praying for the sick, about working miracles. Before I'd ever seen anyone else do any of these things, I saw it in the Word of God, but I saw myself being able to do these things. So this became my reality. Some of you have heard me tell the story that, you know, for years before I ever started going overseas and doing crusades back in the 80s, I knew I was supposed to go, but I'd never seen a crusade. I'd never seen a healing crusade. And every night as I was praying about how to do this, how to pursue this, how to, you know, where would the doors open for me? Where would I get the money? You know, all of these kinds of things. I just started every single night. As I was going to sleep, I would imagine myself standing on a platform, speaking to thousands of people, and I would go through every aspect of the sermon in my mind. I would see it, I would think it, I'd visualize it, I'd ponder it, I would feel it. I'm telling you, I would go through every bit of it. And then I would see myself speaking life over these people, and I'd see the sick get healed. Well, you know what? You know, I remember the very first crusade I ever had overseas, which always had jungle crusades. They were out in the middle of nowhere, no musicians, nothing. You just get a bunch of people to go out in the jungle, preach Jesus to them, and heal the sick, open the eyes of the blind, all of those kinds of things. I'm telling you, I saw every miracle in the New Testament. I saw many, or every healing in the New Testament. I saw many of them hundreds of times. And it all started because I had already made this a reality to me by seeing these things in my heart. So, remember, we're talking about coming to the place where your faith is operational. This isn't just more information about faith or more information about healing. These are exercises so that your faith becomes operational, it becomes functional in the real world. You know, I was just thinking, there was a church I went to. You know, I've been very fortunate. I can probably count on one hand the number of meetings that I've had that were not very, very, very successful. Most of them have been incredibly successful, but there have been a few that were really, really bad. But I got invited to a church one time. They want me to come in and teach them how to pray. And so I went in and you know, I taught about 15 or 20 minutes, and then I called Brenda up at the front, and I said, now here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray. And Brenda and I are going to pray, and we're going to worship. And, you know, you can watch, and as you begin to feel comfortable, you can enter into this and start participating. Well, Brenda and I prayed for about 30 minutes, and not another soul moved, not another soul opened their mouth, not another soul said a word. So the next morning, the pastor called me and talked to me. He said, man, I really didn't like that meeting that you had last night. And I said, really, what was the problem? He said, well, you know, I want you to come here and teach us about praying. I said, no, you said you want me to come and teach you how to pray. And the only way for a person to learn how to pray is to pray. It's not from gathering more information. And, you know, he was dumbstruck. Of course, I found out later that the pastor, his wife, and nearly all of his elders were not born again. Nearly no one in the church was born again. I did get his wife saved and a couple of his leaders saved before I left. But it's amazing how we want to read about things. We want to hear sermons about things, but it's very rare that we really want to become the disciple and live the things that we are learning. So we're talking about exercises that you put into practice so that whether it's in real life every day that you go out and face the world, whether it's just the daily situations where your kids need a miracle. You know, one Sunday we were having church outside in our front yard. We first started the church, we started in my living room, and it grew to about 90 people, and we didn't have space. We actually started having church outside in the yard, put a tent up right in my front yard, and we grew. It was amazing. But we were walking out there one day, and my oldest daughter slipped and fell on steps, broke her leg, and it was obviously, you could tell it was broken by looking at it. And I'll never forget, you know, just it was just my natural reaction to grab her and take hold of her leg and begin to speak life. And healing and wholeness over her leg and grab her by the hand, have her stand up. And she started putting works with her faith, as difficult and as painful as that was. In just a matter of minutes, she was completely healed. As a matter of fact, one of my very first contacts with Brenda, one of the first times I ever came to know pretty much who she was, she had come to a skating party that a church had had, and she fell down and broke her arm. And, again, it was one of those things where it was just second nature to me that when I saw what happened, I just stopped right there where she was. I knelt down beside of her. I put one hand on each side of the break because her arm bone was sticking up, you know, where it had broken. And I began to speak life and wholeness and healing to this arm. Didn't pray for it to be healed. I just started speaking life over it. And when I took my hands off of it, and in just a couple of minutes, it was completely healed. Now, I'll tell you something. Sometimes the life of your children, the life of your mate, or the life of other people are going to depend on you being able to step into the role of being light in the darkness, of you being salt in the earth, of you being the miracle worker in the situation in the name of the Lord. So I want to share with you four exercises that I learned years ago, and I didn't learn them from anybody. These were just things that I intuitively, led by the Holy Spirit, put into practice as a new believer that made it possible for me to ultimately have an influence on millions and millions and millions of people around the world. Exercise, well, first of all, let me say this. If you haven't learned how to get into a meditative state, this would be beneficial. You want to be someplace that's comfortable. You'll be someplace that's quiet. You want to be someplace that you can relax. You're not worried about anybody interrupting you. And then you want to know how to get relaxed. If you've never done any of my heart physics work, we have a lot of material on our heart physics site and even some free stuff on our website that you can go to under our resources tab, and you can discover a lot about this. But also on heartphysics.com, there is a alpha wave meditative recording that you can use with headphones, and it will slow your brain waves down, help you relax, and help you get into a meditative state that would normally take people years to learn how to get into. But you want to get into as much of a relaxed, prayerful, meditative state as you can when you're doing each of these exercises. So exercise number one would be to pick a miracle or a healing that is recorded in the Bible. Read it over and over again. Matter of fact, I always recommend reading these in various translations. You know, when I open my Bible, which is usually my computer, I use PC Study Bible. And when I open PC Study Bible, I have six versions of the Bible open at one time. And when I'm reading a passage of Scripture, I'll read it in all six of those versions and sometimes look up every single word in the original language. You don't have to be able to do the original language, but reading it in all these different translations and reading it in something like the Living Bible or the Good News Bible, something that's so simple it'll insult your intelligence, because that's more about getting the concept. It's more about the story. Whereas, you know, the Amplified Bible, the New King James Bible, and some of those Bibles are more about the details, you know, and both are important. But anyhow, read it over and over and over until you can conceptualize the story. Then take yourself into a meditative state and walk through every step of how that story is told with one addition, and that is to visualize you being the one working the miracle. And go through every aspect of it. I mean, think about how you would feel. Think about the struggle that might be going inside you. Think about what it feels like to have confidence. Think about what it feels like to be sure that what you're saying is absolutely going to come to pass. And by the way, let me say this. A great time to do this is just as you're going to sleep. Because as you go to sleep, your brain waves slow down. You literally enter into the meditative state, and you have about 15 to 30 minutes where your brain goes from wide awake beta down into high alpha, down to low alpha, and then ultimately it will go into theta. And before you go to sleep, you will be in deep, deep meditation, and you will find that this is an incredible time to do this kind of stuff. And if you want to, you can do it in the mornings, because when you first wake up, you're still in that meditative state. So pick a Bible miracle or healing, get completely familiar with it, then picture yourself as the one doing it and get inside of this thing so that you can see and experience it as being something that's real, something that's happening around you. Exercise number two. I love this exercise. This exercise has saved my life and the lives of possibly hundreds of people over the years. You know, Jesus was in the boat and the waves and the wind was blowing, the waves were roaring, and Jesus just spoke to them and said, "Peace, be still." Imagine yourself in a storm. Imagine the wind blowing. Hear it, feel it. You know, see it. If you can, if you're good at visualizing, visualize. If you're not, just think about it or imagine it or whatever you got to do to make it as real as you possibly can. And then see or experience or imagine yourself then speaking to the wind and the rain and just say something like, "Stop, dissipate right now, do no harm." And then just imagine what it sounds like as the rain just goes from pouring down to getting lighter and lighter, and it stops raining and the wind settles down, and then even the sun breaks through the clouds. You know, I did that exercise thousands of times. And, you know, one of the first really phenomenal miracles that I was in, I'd only been a believer really less than 2 years. And I was right in the path of a killer tornado, one of the most violent tornadoes recorded in America. And it's right here in Huntsville, Alabama. And I was right in the path of that thing. And when everybody in the house ran downstairs and got into the storm cellar, which they should have done, I ran out into the backyard. And I'm telling you, it was like something I'd never heard or ever seen before. And it was quickly approaching us. And, you know, I spoke to that thing, and it did not touch the house that we were in. It hit houses around us. It hit houses before it got to us. It hit houses after it went past us. It destroyed neighborhoods. But I don't know if a single shingle was blown off of the roof of the house that I was in. And, you know, I've done this where I've been in typhoons in the Philippines while I was out on ships that were in danger of sinking. Done this all over the world. See yourself doing this until this becomes absolutely real and alive to you. Exercise number three. And remember, see, imagine, visualize, think about, however you do it, just whatever way it can make it as real as possible. Imagine yourself in a situation where you need a miracle or a healing. And it may even be something you're really already struggling with. See yourself connecting to God in prayer and meditation. Imagine what you would feel like with the power of the Holy Spirit just rising up and flowing through you. And see yourself speak life over the situation. See what it would feel like and look like to rise up in that moment and be healed or be delivered from the problem. Then, of course, always in these situations, always imagine yourself giving thanks to God. Always imagining yourself giving, you know, expressing thanksgiving and gratitude to God who made you capable of being able to do these things. And then last of all, imagine yourself in a conflict. This is what I call an emotional miracle. Imagine yourself in a conflict where you usually lose control, get angry, or, you know, do something that you wish you hadn't done. And then see yourself handling it differently. See yourself feeling the peace of God emerging from your heart and your ability to walk in love and peace, no matter how irrational the other person is. And notice how good you feel about yourself. Notice what a sense of victory that you have and a sense of gratitude to the Lord and a healthy self-worth because you're walking in love. See and imagine this, every aspect of this. These are four exercises that I have done thousands of times, and I'm telling you, they transformed my life. You say, well, how long do I have to do them before they'll really work in my life? You do them until they work. Doesn't matter how long it takes. You know, Hebrews 11:1, you know, tells us about faith. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not yet seen. Now, we've always been taught that faith is blind. Well, I'm telling you, faith is never blind. God always, first and foremost, lets you know what He wants you to do because we know His promises and His new covenant. We know what we should expect, but it's still foreign for us to do these things because we don't have evidence in our life that this is really going to work. But when we go into our heart and see and imagine and experience the end from the beginning, we see the result, or we experience or imagine the result, that is evidence. That affects you inwardly the same way it would affect you if you actually got healed today, and you got healed again a year from now. Every time you got healed, you would have more confidence that the next time you face something, you're going to come out all right. Well, that's because you're gathering evidence. Now, faith gathers evidence of things that are not seen. And so the only way you can gather evidence of things that are not seen is to use the internal resources that God has given you, your heart, your mind, your imagination, all these things. See, you only believe that for which you have the most evidence. In other words, whatever you have the most evidence to believe, that's what you're going to believe. But you gather evidence based on where you focus your attention. And every day we're focusing our attention on that which is seen, that which can be felt, that which is evidenced in the physical world around us. So we totally neglect this realm called the kingdom of heaven. We neglect this realm where God's resources are available to us. We neglect this realm where we could see things the way God sees them. I'll tell you, when you start doing exercises like this, and you can create your own exercises. There's hundreds of different exercises I've done over the years. I want to tell you something. The days that lay ahead of us, the people who will do incredible conquests, the people who will survive, the people who will follow the Lord into victory when the whole world is falling apart are going to be people that first and foremost, their faith is rooted in the character and nature of God. They know God is always trustworthy. He's not the one bringing the bad things in planet Earth. He is not the one hurting people. This is not judgment for everything all the world has done. This is the tribulation of the Antichrist. And the people, they'll know that they're delivered from the wrath of God. They know all the promises of God are theirs. They know they're righteous in Jesus. Therefore, they pay attention to their heart. They have developed their capacity to recognize the voice of God in their heart. I'll tell you something. These are going to be the people that are not only going to do great conquests, but they're going to follow the Holy Spirit, lead their families to safety, lead people around them to safety. And I want you to be equipped to be an overcomer in any situation. And these are some of the basic steps to get there. Listen, one of the things you may have never done, you may have never gone through heart physics. You may have heard me talk about it, but if you want to get on the express route to being able to recognize and the presence of the Lord Jesus in your heart, which is really the whole mystery of the new covenant, is Christ in you, is the hope of glory. If you want to come to where that's a living reality for you, I encourage you to check out Essential Heart Physics. It is a 30-day life renovation program that teaches you to listen to, recognize, and follow the voice of the Lord Jesus in your heart. And you know something? If you work with people, whether you're a minister, a life coach, or a counselor, you may want to consider becoming a heart physics coach so that we can multiply this to millions of people all over the earth. So as these days intensify, people will know how to hear, recognize the voice of God in their heart. And they will, in their heart, they will gather evidence to be an overcomer no matter what happens in the world. Listen, I hope you're enjoying our weekly broadcast. I hope that every week you're tuning in, you're building your life on and nurturing your heart on these things that I'm teaching you. I hope you're a follower of Jesus. And secondly, I really hope that you're supporting us in our efforts to take the gospel of the kingdom to the ends of the earth. One of our goals is to reach 1 billion people for the Lord Jesus Christ. We are working a very aggressive plan around the world to train leaders and to work with leaders that are already going to the ends of the earth. And I hope you're a part of it. So I want to invite you, if you're not, to consider becoming a world changer. A world changer is somebody who every month does whatever it is that they choose to do or whatever it is that the Lord leads them to do to help financially support us reaching 1 billion people around the world. This year, we need to raise $1 million. But you know something? If we can reach 1 billion people with $1 million, that is such an incredible investment that it's probably one of the best soul-winning investments that you will ever make in your life. So pray, listen to the Holy Spirit, or just follow your passion and help us change the way the world sees God.